Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So the playoffs will be here before we know it in baseball. We're just a couple weeks away. The Astros, I think, only have like 17 games left. I just need them to win two games. I have over 96.5 wins. They've been stuck on 95 the last couple nights. Mm-hmm. I just want them to get to 97, and then I can just kind of phone it in for the rest of the regular season and then get ready for playoff baseball.
You really, from two nights ago, you could blame a whole bunch of different people, from Wade Miley on to the multiple relievers that ended up giving up. I believe it was 97 runs in that one game. And last night, Josh James just fell apart.
Yeah. Yeah, not good. Are you concerned? I mean, I know this sounds a little bit greedy to say, like, boy, are you concerned about only having Verlander and Cole that are really pitching at a high level right now, considering the fact that they are so far out in front of everybody else in baseball right now, the two of them as starting pitchers? But are you concerned about the all or nothing nature of the way the Astros are pitching right now?
I think you'd be a moron not to be, right? Because the biggest fear you have also is that it's not just Verlander or Cole. Unless you're expecting them to go nine innings every game they play in the playoffs, you need to worry about whether all their good work can be undone over the course of two innings.
Right.
That's a serious, serious concern. And I think at least part of it with the bullpen is a little bit flukish, just a little bit, because part of it is obviously based on, oh yeah, Presley's been banged up and injured and hopefully he's going to come back and be fine. Peacock, it was just a hypothetical for a long time. Well, hey, look, he'll be fine in the bullpen. It's going to be a big help for you when he gets there. But then health became a concern. Peacock and Presley are going to be huge. I feel a whole lot better about either of those guys coming in versus Josh James or anybody else that might come in and be a serious issue in the playoffs. I think the biggest thing that I have going for my mental state right now is that Verlander and Cole are so dominant and so hot right now, neck and neck for the Cy Young. I wish they hated each other so there could be some drama to report that maybe these two were sabotaging each other in the clubhouse or something so they could win the Cy Young.
Or they're secretly calling up some of the voters to make their case for the Cy Young.
Yeah, oh yeah, lobbying.
I feel like Verlander would be better at that just because of tenure. Like, he's probably built more relationships around the league.
He'd be better at it. I do
feel... because he's a career American League guy.
Instead, we get the very boring, I feel like Verlander actually wants Cole to win it probably because it would be nice for Cole.
I don't know, man. If there's an incentive in his contract.
Oh, that's a good point.
You know what I mean?
Talking like, about he's got kids to feed, right? Is Kate Upton pregnant yet?
Did she have
a kid?
I think she had a baby. Yeah, I thought she did.
I lose track of everything. Correa, I was talking about Correa like he'd already been married the other day, and then I remembered, oh, yeah, it's
next February.
It's next offseason. Yeah.
It's the second biggest wedding in town next February.
Except it's in Puerto Rico.
Okay. But of a Houston figure.
Did JJ announce where
his
is?
Mine's the first. Huh?
Did JJ announce where his is?
No, I don't think so.
Dragging your feet, JJ. Get on there.
It's really tough for me to be competing with Carlos Correa and JJ Watt in the same year with my wedding. You know, I'm trying to be the go-to event of the year in 2020.
You're trying to make this.
These two highly paid icons are going to outdo me.
How do you make page six of the Houston Press?
I don't know.
When
I'll need to do something noteworthy between now and then where I, like maybe not like Antonio Brown noteworthy, but I probably need to be a little more eccentric.
Yeah,
maybe, create some buzz.
You gotta, at the very least, start dressing loudly or something so that when you're at a Rockets game, you know what?
Or you and I need to get into a fight on the air.
You could become the new, that's passing I found in terms of your notoriety. You could be the new Craig Sager, but like a local Craig Sager. Well, you've already got though, Calvin's already got the wild dress locked.
You're talking
down.
About from a fashion standpoint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Calvin's already got that on lockdown.
That's his gimmick.
You showing up at Rockets game peacocking. What if you got?
I feel like Calvin might fight me if I did that.
What if the guy that peacocks at Texans games?
Yeah.
It's hard to get a lot of time though. If you sit courtside at a Rockets game, or if you when you go and you sit with Wallace Marsh at Astros games behind home plate, be dressed loudly. Dress up like a pimp behind
Wallace,
home plate.
If you're listening, I need an invite to a game soon.
You'll be the guy. You'll be like the Marlins guy, but a much less annoying one.
He should want to help. He's my best man. He should want to help me in that Wallace's, endeavor.
Wallace's, not yeah. the Marlins guy. I thought no, the Marlins man
no,
was.
That'd be
like,
amazing,
why are you
though.
Doing that?
Yeah, okay. that would be incredible.
So, yeah. Well, let's do that. Okay. You're going to be loudly dressed, obnoxiously dressed, maybe Astros guy.
Okay.
JJ's got to be, yeah, JJ, don't become one of these couples that's engaged for 4 years and you keep putting it off.
Yeah, I don't know.
You got to put that date out there at some point.
But I will say this, if, you know, week one is any indicator, JJ does not need any more on his plate right now.
No.
Like, we don't need him going home at night after practice and he's getting handed a list of 6 things he needs to do for the wedding. Like, he needs to, after a statless week one, he needs to be focused on football. In fact, he said yesterday, he said, I was not very good on Monday night against the Saints.
I've had bad games before and I'll have bad games again. But and people like to focus on it and I don't blame them. I mean, I understand. But I'm focused on Jacksonville. It's my job to go out there and not do that again. So that's what I'll do.
Yes or no, does J.J. Watt get a sack this weekend against Gardner Minshew?
I hate to predict sacks because you can have an awesome day rushing the passer and not get any sacks.
It makes it so good for the book. It's very unpredictable.
Does he get 3 quarterback hits? I'll say yes, he gets 3 quarterback hits.
I'm going to say yes, too.
I think especially versus the Jaguars. The Jaguars have a long history of getting weirdly and unjustifiably cocky with how they choose to protect J.J. Watt. They'll leave woeful offensive tackles on islands with JJ and act like, yeah, we know what we'll handle this just fine.
Yeah.
Don't worry about us.
Then
he gets 3 sacks and they'll make excuses for it.
Right.
So I think that JJ gets at least 3 quarterback hits in this game.
They have a long history of letting JJ Watt pulverize their quarterbacks.
Yeah.
1.3 sacks per game
against the Jaguars.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of people always bring that up when they'll try to – people have arguments against JJ's greatness and they'll say, well, he's gotten the majority of those against these bad teams. Go back to any guy that's gotten a whole bunch of sacks. And, yeah, they – guess what? They beat up on the lower – they beat up on the lesser opponents. That's just kind of the way it works.
Our crack research staff, Chris Jones, our producer, just got in my ear and said they have a third-string tackle playing in this game. They have a third-string tackle playing. And also the side that JJ Watt lines up to is Juwan Taylor, who's the rookie – they drafted out of Florida. He's their right tackle. So JJ, if he's lined up where he's usually, you know, if Cornell doesn't move him around, he's going to be lined up over top of a rookie making his second start.
That's the one thing that I could say is that this Gardner Mayhew, I'm urging people not to take him lightly. I'm not saying he's going to come out and be Steve Young versus you or anything, but he is capable of extending the play. If there's things you want to see if a quarterback can do and you're not quite sure early on when a quarterback has success, you would say, first of all, okay, can he throw into tight windows? Yeah, he did that. He did that in the game on Sunday. Can he throw to the sideline? That's a little bit dicier and trickier. I don't think we saw as many instances of that in that game. Can he attack you downfield? Yeah, we saw that. And then especially with a younger quarterback, what I worry about is can he extend the play?
Yeah.
He extended the play pretty well
he
in that
did.
Game a few times.
He did. It, you know, it was one of those games, Seth, I didn't watch it on its first run through. I was watching Red Zone Channel, so I only saw the highlights of the game. But like everybody, I saw the box score, heard the stats, and I rewatched it yesterday, and I went into that hoping it was going to be one of those 22 of 25 type games where it was all really safe stuff.
Just screens and,
right.
Yeah.
It was going to be Kansas City up by 2 touchdowns, so they've got 5-yard, 10-yard cushions on everybody. And it wasn't that. I don't want to make too big a deal out of it because the guy is a 6th-round pick starting it's his first start in the NFL. So I don't want to make this out like this is Kurt Warner coming in from Trent Green back in the day and it's going to be the greatest show on turf. All I'm saying is that I saw a whole lot of things in that Chiefs game where I'm like, well, crap, this is not a manufactured 22 of 25.
Especially given what you saw the Texans defense do versus Drew Brees. Now, Gardner Mayhew is no Drew Brees, but the Texans defense didn't even put up a fight in the second half.
Right.
They considered it a success if they got a field goal in the second half. They only stopped the Saints offense once in the second half.
Right.
Out of 6 drives, they stopped them once. That's a concern going against anybody that can actually throw the football. That's where I'm really curious to see, and this is the exciting part. What do we see out of Lonnie Johnson?
Yeah.
Lonnie Johnson, is he going to play on the outside some? How many snaps does he get? Philip Gaines, does he come in? And I would imagine that Philip Gaines is better than Aaron Colvin just because there are at least 32 slot corners in the NFL right now that are better than Aaron Colvin. It was just a... He was just not in a good place. So they should be improved just by that.
He can't be worse.
Right.
Like he can't be worse. I'm with you on the Lonnie Johnson thing. You know, you can break down the release of Aaron Colvin any way you want to. On the negative side, A, did they wait too long to do it? B, I mean, this is a complete failure of a free agent that's going to get paid $7.5 million to sit at home. On the plus side, though, and we had a lot of people point this out to us yesterday, I think a lot of people like this new urgent Texans. So you forget about the price tag of the things they're doing for a second, but just the level of urgency to where a guy needed to be held accountable for a poor performance on Monday. He was held accountable, and I don't know that this is a roster full of guys that need messages sent to them, but I think there were a lot of fans out there that felt like, man, after Monday, I want my pound of flesh, and in the moment, it felt pretty good. No disrespect, Aaron Colvin. Felt good to a lot of fans out there whose Tuesday mornings were ruined by Aaron Colvin's poor performance.
I was looking on Twitter last night. I was looking at Texans Bill at the underscore Reliant on Twitter, and I think it was Texans Bill that made the point that, hey, the media spends the whole offseason criticizing the Texans for not using their cap space. Now that they're aggressive and they are using their cap space, we're screaming that they're using too much of it. And I think that's fair criticism to a certain degree. I don't mind using the cap space, but that doesn't mean you should overspend in each individual circumstance. When it comes to cutting Aaron Colvin, I don't worry about that cap space at all. Now, habitually, you don't want to get in the habit of signing guys that don't work out, obviously. Right. But the cap space that Aaron Colvin is costing to get rid of a problem, I don't worry about that. That's good. Keeping Aaron Colvin around just because you're paying money is throwing good money after bad. You take it on the chin, you get rid of him, so be it. I approve of all of that.
Yeah, this is not a great time of year normally for deal making. If all of this activity that William O'Brien, general manager, is in the midst of right now is just him maybe overpaying on some of these deals because it's not a deal making time of year,
yeah.
But he urgently sees needs on this football team and he just wants to address those needs. If it's indicative of that urgency, but the maybe lack of what looks like a lack of perception of value in these moves is not going to be something that goes forward. Like this is sort of a one-time thing that the plethora of cap space and draft picks that you have avail you to. Then okay, then I'm cool. Like, you know what? Then you went on that splurge.
Yeah.
And you looked at your bank account and you said, I can't splurge anymore. That was like, fun, but I can't splurge anymore.
The thing that always comes back to mind, this is my apolitical take on this. When W first came into office and there was a surplus, and he gave all of us money.
That was nice.
I was like, this is cool. I like getting this check, but I also like, I don't feel like this is maybe the right thing to do, W.
Yeah. And, I like schools and roads.
Well, no, but also there's a matter of saving for a rainy day.
Yeah.
It's not, there's a little bit of, man, yeah, this is nice, but also, come on, let's take it easy.
Yeah.
That's what I worry about because Bill O'Brien just came into office. Bill O'Brien is just now and has this surplus. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
The most entertaining part of what you just said was your contention that would be an apolitical take.
No, it was.
The text page has a funny way of deciding what's political and not political.
Because I think a lot of Republicans would agree that there's certain things. When you start talking about fiscal policy, we can disagree within the party. It's okay.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
But you're right. I brought up W. I'm screwed.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.